Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
This is something that I've always been concerned about. Bear markets usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, bull markets usually last 7 years. And then bear markets last like 18 months on average, I believe, around that time. So we were in a 12-year bull market, which, like you said, like the longest in history. And then we had the shortest bear market in history last year, which was only a few months. Mm-hmm. And now we're back in a bull market. So obviously that was a lot due to the government just printing money at unprecedented rate and pumped a lot of money into the economy, which made us go back into, helped us go back into a bull market. But it's one of these things where at some point in my brain, we have to go back into a prolonged bear market, or is that no longer the case where it's like, okay, bear markets might not happen anymore, like how they used to happen?
Great question. My good buddy, JC Peretz likes to say there's always a bear market somewhere. So we're in, if you look around the market, and it's a global market, and it's a market of stocks, right? There's the stock market, but we always talk about the Dow, the S&P, the Russell, but then there's the global market of stocks. And if you look around, the Hang Seng fell 10% last week. Yeah. That's a technical correction. You look at the meme stocks, AMC and GameStop, even though they're up whatever, 1400, 1200%, they're down 45, 50% from their highs. Crypto is in a technical bear market. There's always a bear market happening. It just depends on the asset class you're looking at or where you're looking around the world. So there's that. Are we going to have a bear market in the United States in the S&P 500 or the Dow? Yeah, we are going to have one. The fact is, though, and you mentioned it, that was the cutest little bear market in history. It hurt that 35% drop, but it was cute. It lasted 5 minutes, right? Again, we had the support, but there's also this, and this is important. There are so many passive investors in the stock market right now, passively investing through their 401k, through their Roth IRA, through their own brokerage accounts. They're just setting and forgetting it through the robo-advisors. There's just a ton of money sitting there in the Vanguards and the Fidelity index funds of the world, right? It's heavy. It's like a big, heavy ship. It takes a lot to move that whole ship down and get passive investors to sell. Everybody's got a threshold, but for passive investors, this household across the United States and across the world sitting on all of this stock income, people have a very deep threshold before they're ready to throw in their hand. So we'll get a bear market. It may come soon, right? This is the worst 2 months of the stock market right now, August and September. We may get a correction here. We may fall into a bear. I doubt it. But in general, I just think the market is so heavy that we're going to get these things, but they're not going to last long. And the government now has this moral hazard where they're just not letting things fall that far. They're not letting the capital markets fall apart because they don't want a 2008, 2009 situation again.
Yeah. And if they did, I think in 2020, last year, we would have crashed through the 50% of the Dow. And what people are not remembering, in 1970, 1980, there wasn't as much quantitative easing. But as you mentioned, Caleb, the amount of people that are buying automatically and then the preaching of index funds was not present. Those two factors, like 1929, everyone was not automatically invested into 401ks or mutual fund plans. So those levers are dramatically different. And then, but the quantitative easing thing, because I know Rashad is a pessimist, like Rashad will make you prove your case to him. And the thing is, like, the quantitative easing part is tough because now you're building a house of cards, but they, as Caleb mentioned, you can't stop the quantitative easing because if we do and the floor falls from underneath it, it'll be disastrous for many industries, many people, and many jobs will go away. So now it's this thing that you have to kind of keep in place, and probably for the next 20 something years, it will have to be in place until we reach a point of no return.
Yeah, Caleb, obviously Investopedia is almost, I mean, it is a search engine for anybody really trying to learn about investing. I'm wondering what you do, right? Because as you see these, the people searching words, and what type of analytics are you using and what are you seeing with those analytics, right? If somebody's typing in meme stocks, all right, this must be a something that's going on, or you hear fear and you hear, you might see Shadi typing in what's a bear market, what's the long, what are you doing with these analytics?
Yeah, great question. And because we have a lot of people who are doing this, 23 odd million visitors a month, 3 million page views a day on the on order, sometimes more, we're seeing what the questions are that people are asking. And in that, you see their intention, not in a creepy way. Like we're seeing what you might see in a Google trend search, but we're seeing at a very, what we call a taxonomy level. So we have our taxes, our investing taxes and our trading taxes. We're seeing what people are specifically looking at. And sometimes that is as broad. And one of the more popular questions on the website, believe it or not, is what is money? I think that is people literally wondering, what is this thing we call money? And I also think it's people thinking about a crypto world, like, what is money metaphysically? So we have that. But we also have people asking very pointed questions like, how do I start investing with $10,000 or Roth IRA or 401k or TD Ameritrade or Robinhood? Which broker's better? Or how do I buy swaps? Or how do I buy warrants? Or what's a SPAC? So when you get all of that, you know where the interest is, but you also know what people are sort of fearing or what they're optimistic about. So when people are searching, what is volatility? What is the VIX? What is a bear market? How much could I lose? What is a, you know, when you see those fear-based terms, we've created an anxiety index, which actually peaks before the VIX index, because we see what you're searching for. Think about it. When you get scared and you want to learn something, you're like, what is a this before I do a this? We know what the what is of this part of that is, and we're seeing those spikes in fear and anxiety before they appear in the stock market, through the VIX, through the options market, and into the stock market. It's fascinating, but it also makes us go, we better update that article because something big just happened. We had the reverse stock split with GE today. All of a sudden, I'm looking at Google Analytics on our website, and reverse stock splits spiking like a rocket ship. And I'm like, what happened? I go and I find the reverse stock split with GE, put that anecdote into the story and move on. So we have to update our content to make sure that we're not chasing the news. We're just trying to be relevant around it. And because we have so many terms, we're doing this at scale by the thousands every week.
Yeah, that was my search engine on the warrant call. I hit Ian up and we were like studying that together.
Yeah. Let's ask about a couple of questions if we can about some terms, because we very rarely get a chance to do this, especially with somebody who does it for a living. Yeah. So you talked about reverse stock split. A lot of people might not be familiar with what a reverse stock split is. What is a reverse stock split?
Well, a public company that issues shares may decide to split their shares traditionally. So if they had 1,000 or let's just say 1 million shares outstanding, they split their shares. Now they have 2 million, but at half the price. A reverse split's the other way, where you're splitting down from, you know, you're reducing the amount of shares you have on the market, but making each share worth more. So if you had 1 million shares and you reverse split 2 for 1. Now you have 500,000 shares, but those each individual share is worth twice that. So it's just a way of either raising the value of the individual share through a reverse split or creating more shares outstanding to make more shares available to the public markets if you're doing a traditional split. So there's a difference, but it really is what the company is trying to do with its share base. And companies will often split their shares to make more shares available outstanding so that more people can buy in. You saw some of this happening with some of the meme stocks. But then you have companies that will never, ever split, like a Berkshire Hathaway. That's why the stock price for Berkshire Hathaway Class A shares is $260 or whatever, $1,000 a piece.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
Mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.